one of the temptations, if you've ever been the pastor, which I have, is to want to partake and add to everything that's been said today and yesterday. But we are attempting to follow the Lord, even in this morning. And there will be, I believe, still a message for the saved and unsaved today. But I must read, as an addendum, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He said, Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Praise the Lord. I hope that spoke to you. It spoke to me. If you'll open your Bible with me this morning, I'm going to be in John chapter 1. We're going to have a brief introduction of John chapter 1 in Genesis chapter 1. I do appreciate the call to be here today. As soon as I had heard of the news, I immediately, very soon after hearing everything, contacted your pastor and let him know that in any way possible that I would be available to him for anything he needed, not knowing that would be today, but I gave him the freedom to do anything he wanted to do. I said, if you need to change, cancel, do anything, I said, whatever you want to do, that would be understood with me. So I do appreciate the opportunity, and we have prayed for your families. And we have others praying as well outside of this church. In Genesis chapter 1, if you'll look there with me, you can remain seated. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. These verses demonstrate a marked beginning of time. God, the Godhead, strong Trinity, from nothing, without pre-existing materials, bound by no physical laws. Verse 2 shows us the shadow and type and the hint of regeneration. As we see, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Man comes into this world dead in trespasses and sin. And only by the regenerating power of the Spirit of God can he know life and can he know light. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. When the light comes, the darkness cannot withstand it. The darkness cannot comprehend it, but the darkness must flee away. Jesus, who John would later tell us was hidden in the bosom of the Father, God was first revealed by the Word, by speech. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. Later in John, he would tell us that he spoke, and it was done. Psalm 148:5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. By speaking a word, the Bible tells us, by speaking a word, he dispelled the darkness just by the spoken word. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, if you want to turn there, in Colossians 1:12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What is that saying? It's literally telling us that the work was sufficient, that God qualifies by the work of Christ, that we could be rescued and have spiritual liberation, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. What does that mean? By Christ are all things created. By Christ were all things introduced. And by Christ are all things made known. By Christ they exist. They subsist by means of His power. All things are held together, maintained, provided for, and made to continue, including our salvation. Now to me, that's encouraging. And by the way, that word consist is a good word, because it puts all everything together. We conclude this little introduction of Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things. There's that consist idea. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. As Genesis introduces us to the beginning of human time, we are now taken this morning to a time before time. And in John chapter 1, if you'll look there with me, we are now taken to a time before beginning, when there was only the self-existent one, before we have any comprehension of time, before beginning, from before the beginning. And in John chapter 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In beginning, he says, before Genesis 1:1, there was John 1:1. This is not a reference to the beginning of the world, as mentioned in Matthew 24. John 1:1 precedes the making of all things. In beginning, Word, Christ, as Calvin calls Him, the speech, before human reckoning, through His own omnipresence, while hidden in the bosom of the Father, while Trinity, yet Christ, the Word. The Trinity by the Word, by Christ, God was revealed. Christ revealed God to us the moment He spoke the worlds into existence. In relation to the Godhead, He was a member of the Trinity, Christ. God, the Word, Christ, divine. The restoration and reconciliation of the sons of Adam was to be accomplished by the Son of God, Christ. He is the breath of life. In beginning, the Word, the eternal God. This doctrine pushes us to the understanding that our total faith in life and our total faith in death rests upon the Word, Christ, God, the Word, the speech. Calvin said, speech is said to be among men the image of the mind. So it is not inappropriate to apply this to God and to say that He reveals Himself to us by His speech. He goes on, now as God in creating the world revealed Himself by that speech. So He formerly had Him concealed within Himself, but now revealed to man. Christ did not begin to exist at the beginning. He was from before beginning. Remember, it did not start in Bethlehem. That is when we saw the manifestation of God. But no, he was from beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Christ is the final spokesman of God. Hebrews says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He spoke to us by the prophets. He spoke to us by the law and the prophets. But now he speaks to us by his Son. He speaks to us by the Word of God. God, the speech, the Word, created, redeems. The Bible says he keeps. He guards our salvation. It's kept for us. No other can duplicate. No other can be trusted. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. A.W. Pink says of this verse, it intimates that he is God's alphabet. The one that spells out deity. What is deity? Christ. Who is deity? Jesus. There is no loss, as Dr. Moorcraft said. There was no loss in Bethlehem. There was an addition. We lose nothing in Christ. And by the way, for those of you who perhaps are still lost, for all we lost in Adam, we gain far more in Jesus Christ. The one who utters all God has to say. That's why John 1:18 ends by saying, He, Christ, hath declared him, has told of him. He has told us what we need to know of God. He said, well, I have another revelation. No, you don't. We have added wisdom. No, you don't. There are no new truths outside of the Word of God about God. Christ, the spokesman of God, spells out deity, hath told or declared the truth. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before there was a beginning, Christ was existing. Christ, the Word, speech. A word is a means of communication. By means of words, we transmit information to others. By words, we express ourselves, making our will known, imparting knowledge. So Christ, the Word, the divine transmitter, communicating God's message of His will to us. So often they come and say, what book should I read to start studying this topic? You might start with this book here. It might be the best place to start. No, there's a doctrine I want to start studying. Good, start in John. You might get a good start. Maybe go back to Exodus and then Leviticus. Stop looking for some truth outside of this book. Start here. Find all the truth you can about that truth and work your way out. It might take you a while to work your way out. So Christ, the Word, the divine transmitter, communicating God's message of His will to us. Pink went on to say, a word is a method of revelation. And by His words, a speaker exhibits both his intellectual caliber and his moral character. And Christ, as the Word, reveals the attributes and perfections of God. He displayed His power. He manifested His wisdom. He exhibited His holiness. He made known His grace. He unveiled His heart. In Christ and nowhere else is God fully and finally told out. Look at the first six words of John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Christ, God, eternal. Look at the next six words. And the Word was with God. And then it says, and the Word was God. You'll notice it does not say He was in God, but with God. Part of the Trinity, yet distinct. We do not read that God was with God. There is a plurality of persons in the Godhead, but there is but one God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you say, well, I want to go to school and start a blog and a few pages so I can discuss this. There's not much more to discuss about it. Believe it. For grammatical purposes, the verse is not showing us who is God, but it is showing us who is the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was not an emanation of God, but God manifest. Not only the revealer of God, but God Himself revealed. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is not written that the Word was in God, but that He was eternally with God. The Word existed, not began to be. In the introduction in Genesis, we refer to Genesis 1:1. And we said that God created the heavens and the earth. And while nature does reveal the existence of God, it cannot reveal God's character to us. It cannot reveal the justice of God. Nature cannot reveal God's holiness to us. It cannot reveal His grace to us. It cannot reveal His love to us. Nature is a very imperfect witness. Nature is fallen and has been cursed. The Bible says all creation groaneth. Nature does not know mercy or pity. Man's conscience is fallen. Man's conscience would be a way to point to God, but it's fallen. And men accuse others of sin or excuse themselves. The Bible says man's heart is deceitfully wicked. So the Son of Man is who we understand to be the one who seeks and to save that which is lost. We cannot waste our time with nature. We cannot waste our time depending on conscience. But Jesus Himself, as He walked into Jericho, said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you say, well, we don't know who that is. No, we don't. But all we know from the narrative is as He walked into this great city, only one little man inside the city is said to have trusted Christ, Zacchaeus. Could there have been others? They may have been many, but we weren't told. But He came to one city to see one man converted. You say, well, thank you for the doctrine. Where is the hope? We'd like a little hope. Well, let me give you the most important hope. Look at Ephesians with me. Book of Ephesians chapter 1. You see, Brother Abbey, we want some hope. Let me give you the first hope. This is the most important hope. This is the hope And this is the hope we trust in, and this is why our doctrine is not fatalistic, depressing, discouraging, or prejudiced. In Ephesians chapter 1, we have all the hope we need. Ephesians chapter 1, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Where's the hope? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." And then we learn that He spoke the worlds into existence. But Ephesians 1 is before He spoke the world into existence. He said that before He ever spoke the world into existence, before the foundation of the world, He already chose us in Him. No added merit, no foreseen goodness. And when He chose us in Him, the Bible says the appointed of man wants to die, and after this the judgment. When He chose us in Him, He already determined our days, and He already determined our life, and He already appointed our blessings. He said, "Well, that's so fake, that's so negative." Oh, to me, that's so hopeful. Because He did the choosing. Because He did it in Him. By Himself, for Himself. Who better to trust? Would you trust yourself? I would trust Him. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. We who were unacceptable and unable to trust Him, He made us accepted in the Beloved. 1 Thessalonians says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but rather to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Who's that speaking to? Everyone that would obtain salvation. And so everyone that would obtain salvation would be all of those who are not appointed to wrath. So that is all of those who were chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. The us word. That is us. In the beginning, before time, before He spoke, He chose us by himself. He chose us for himself after the counsel of his own will, having mercy upon whom he will. Now, I know some of this is a little transcendent, metaphysical to some, and perhaps some of you say, I see the hope. We live with that hope. Can you give us some more hope? Well, I want to add this morning, as I conclude, if God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he also determined the times before appointed, he said. As I read, he knoweth our down sitting and mine uprising. If there's any sort of hope I could leave beyond that, it would be in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, or verse 3, verse 2, he says, elect, that's all those who were chosen in him. Elect all those who have trusted Christ. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That abundant mercy is an overflowing mercy. It is a mercy that won't stay in, that comes out. And what that means is that our dear departed sister had obtained mercy over abundant flowing mercy, unstoppable by the schemes of man. That she would have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There is no greater hope than that. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. She received overflowing, abundant mercy and grace in Christ to an inheritance that could not be stolen, that could not be robbed, that cannot be destroyed, guarded, kept by God, because by him do all things consist. That's the greatest hope I can imagine as a human being, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. If you're here this morning, you should greatly rejoice. Though now, for a season. How long is a season? However long it lasts. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, and testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have required and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. She's received that grace. Each trial, each burden, each care are considered precious if found to the pleasure of His praise and His honor and His glory. Pastorally, I would leave you with this for those who grieve. Everyone grieves differently. Visibly, invisibly, quietly, loudly, long time, short time. Talked to Mr. Arnold Pent just the other day. His father passed away as an old man. He said, I wept every day for 2 years. Say, what's that? That's how he grieved. And so we want to be patient with each other, family and friends alike. Not to shame, to belittle, begrudge those who have more tear or less, those who show more emotion or less. But we give it all to Christ. And we are thankful that our sister, that before the world was ever created, God had chosen her in Him for no reason other than the good pleasure of Himself, that she would be accepted in the Beloved, and that God would take her for Himself out of this world. And we can trust Him to the praise and the honor and the glory of Christ. Father, we ask this morning to do what we cannot do. Myself, Brother Mooney, the other men that stood here yesterday, we can carry no burdens of these people. We cannot shoulder, we cannot feel the grief, but there is one. You have borne our sorrows. You're a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You knew all about it. And at the moment you chose her, her life flashed through to even her passing. Thank you for the time that she was with us. Thank you for what she left of her family and the heritage and all the things that would go on. Even this morning, more than once hearing, this is what she would want. This is how she would want it. And all of those things are honoring to God. We don't idolize, but we sure are thankful. Lord, help us honor those who deserve honor. And we thank you, Lord, that she was one. Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. We thank you that it's not by blood or by our own power, our own will, but by the will of God. And we thank you that her testimony bore fruit. And we thank you, Lord, that we can see that as a shining example. And help us to know you. And if someone's here today and they don't know you as Savior, that they would throw themselves at the foot of the Son of God, see their sins exceedingly sinful and their need for Christ and forgiveness and redemption. But we ask, Lord, that you would grant that. Lord, grant peace. We ask that you would do that. We ask that you would bless those that mourn, that you'd comfort them. But Lord, we also ask that the things that must be remembered would not be forgotten. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.